This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service has canceled the 2024 July cattle report and is discontinuing the cotton objective yield survey, as well as all county estimates for crops and livestock beginning with the 2024 production year. USDA Statistics Division Director Troy Joshua says it's hard to measure what this impact could have.
There is always a utilization, you know, of all of the information that we provide to the public. Will it be have an impact? You know, I cannot capture and measure that information, but, you know, we are going to hear from our data users that have a concern or that would love to see us continue publishing this information.
Joshua cites budget cuts as a reason for the discontinued reports.
You know, NAS, you know, looked at the information, look at the time frame that we're in right now. We have to balance the budget by the end of the year. And we made some difficult decisions.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council have condemned the Biden administration's three finalized endangered species rules. NCBA Director of Government Affairs Sigrid Johannes says the new rules allow for federal overreach. One rule is especially concerning for their members.
The unoccupied critical habitat designation portion of the rule. Basically, what it means is Fish and Wildlife Service previously was only allowed to designate critical habitat in an unoccupied area, meaning the species in question doesn't currently live there, if that area could in the future actually support the life of the species. So let's say in the future you translocated a small population, an experimental population, that ground that it was moving to would have to have all the features, all of the parts of the ecosystem and the habitat that are necessary for that species to live. Now, under the new Biden administration rule, there's no requirement that the new ground be able to support the life of that species.
Johanna says this removes important guardrails.
And what we've seen under this administration is they're willing to be pretty aggressive and take a pretty wide view on that level of urgency because they view climate change as an existential threat to so many of the species that are under the ESA list right now. So that ability to pretty much label critical habitat wherever they want, as they see fit, is really concerning for us at NCBA.
The Federal Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. has upheld California's vehicle emissions waiver, allowing the state to adopt more stringent fuel emission standards than the federal government. The California Air Resources Board is requiring 100% of the new light and medium duty cars and trucks sold in the state to be zero emissions vehicles by 2035. 17 states and the District of Columbia have adopted the same standard. Minnesota is the only Midwestern state on that list.
South Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Danita Murray is not completely surprised by the appeals court ruling on the California Clean Air waiver, but is disappointed.
We think that there are smarter things that can be done to help some of the issues that the Biden administration is trying to address when it comes to emissions. I think obviously that biofuels are an important part of that solution and need to be looked at with the best available science. So we're disappointed and we'll keep working away at the policy side of this equation.
There's more than one case dealing with greenhouse gas emissions moving through the courts. Another appeal could happen.
I would expect that at least one or two of them end up in front of the Supreme Court. Now, whether or not it's Ohio versus EPA, I'm not sure. It's been talked about as Supreme Court of the United States bait or SCOTUS bait, but I got a C in constitutional law, so I don't want to say one way or another.
Act of God contracts are a popular way of reducing yield risk for specialty crops where there are no future market. According to National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sandbachen, Act of God contracts are a great way for farmers to lock in attractive prices now for fall delivery.
With the Act of God contracts, they're very popular with producers in the fact that you can contract a certain amount of production, but then if for some unforeseen, you know, reason, you know, weather-related or Act of God, like say, for example, you had contracted 1,000 pounds an acre, but actually at harvest you only got 800, you know, you don't have to go back out into the market and buy that seed to cover the contract. It's just forgiven. And so it takes some of that risk away and, you know, allows people to sleep a little bit better at night.
Specialty crops like sunflowers are a good way to supplement a field and to diversify market risk.
It's just another incentive to, you know, to plant the acres and just, like I said, to handle risk a little bit better. Because a lot of the other, like, major crops, for example, like spring wheat or corn or soybeans, those crops do not offer Act of God contracts because they are such a large acreage-based crop. You know, they don't offer that. So usually the specialty crops, smaller crops like us, you know, do offer things like that.
A mixture of warmer and windier weather is expected throughout the Red River Valley this week. That's according to Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Carl Jones.
For the rest of today, we'll see mostly clear skies, you know, plenty of sunshine. That'll help us get into the 60s today, and we'll get a little bit of a breeze out of the west, but generally pretty light overall. It should make for a pretty pleasant day for today. And when we get into tonight to tomorrow, we'll have our clouds increasing, and this is signaling an incoming quick-moving clipper system as well as its cold front. This system is forecast to bring scattered showers and maybe even some weak thunderstorms as it moves through with that cold front.
Winds are expected to pick up later in the week before warming up more this weekend.
We'll see some winds increasing out of the northwest and north, particularly on Thursday, across the Red River Valley and adjacent areas of eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota. Could anticipate those northwest winds generally between 25 to 35 miles per hour, maybe seeing some gusts higher. And then as we're getting into Friday and into the weekend, the winds should lessen a little bit, and we actually get increasing on our temperatures. So I have a little.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Sugar beet planting right around the corner. American Crystal Sugar General Agronomist Joe Hastings says there are some best management practices that need to be done up front.
I think just some things to keep in mind as we roll into planting, which looks possibly to take off soon, is just double check your varieties. Look at their disease tolerance packages that they have for those traits, and make sure you're placing them on the right fields that have the right type of pressures that that variety can handle, and place those appropriately is one big thing to look at, I guess, right out of the chute.
Early season weed control is another top of mind item.
Yeah, a lot of these things we got to take care of up front, and weed control is one of them, with either a pre-emerge or a pre-plant incorporated herbicide for that soil-applied herbicide to create a barrier, you know, so that water hemp or the kochia really can't break through, right? So something to keep in mind there is, hey, I got to have a different plan for kochia versus water hemp. I got to be a bit more aggressive, and kochia, we're recommending that for fumisate, you know, at least minimum 6.5 pints, you know, for of that. To get that down where we can kind of back off a little bit to that, you know, 3-4 pint range for water hemp.
Calving season is in mid-swing for most ranchers, but not all. NDSU Extension Livestock System Specialist Carl Hoppe says that May calving is becoming more and more common in the upper Midwest.
We've seen a lot of people switch to May calving because of the past few years where we've had excessive blizzards in March and April and mud season to deal with, and people are just calving later to try to get around that. When you have more cattle and less labor, that's one of the things that will help is to decrease your labor by calving later. And we're seeing some success on that. People are doing it, and they're finding that it's working quite well for them, even calving out on pasture end with less pneumonia, less scours, less labor issues, less bedding. A lot of things really go that way. However, the problem, though, is that you end up with lighter calves in the fall.
While there are benefits to May calving in colder regions, it doesn't come without its difficulties.
So now comes the issue of, you got to balance off. If the labor issue that arises by calving early and the death loss that can happen by calving early because of the mud, snow, the pneumonia, cold weather, all that, offsetting to the decreased weight of the calves, that you'd sell at the same age, or excuse me, the same time as you would in may calving. And you know, when you start doing the math, they about wash out. So the real answer is whatever works best for the producer.
The early week grain market action has been quiet. Ag Resource Company market analyst Nathan Losey is not expecting USDA to make big changes in Thursday's supply and demand report.
Usually pretty uneventful. I think, again, the main numbers will be the South American production figures. But nevertheless, the market always gets a little nervous ahead of those reports. And so that's kind of, like you said, giving us more balanced two-sided trade here at the start of the week.
Losey says weather and acreage will become the dominant market factors following Thursday's report.
It's weather and the start of the planting season. But, you know, for right now, it looks like, too early to decide whether it's going to be early or late planting. Looks like everything's going to be normal right now. And then, of course, once we get into May, it's going to be the focus on the new crop balance sheets. But as far as market drivers right now, it's there isn't a whole lot out there.
Central and East Central Brazil expected to see regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says enough rain will fall to maintain or increase soil moisture. The remainder of Brazil will see a mix of rain and sunshine through mid-April. Central Argentina expected to dry out, allowing for harvest to advance over the next couple of weeks. Northern Argentina will be wetter with heavier rains expected this coming weekend.
Agricultural exports for the first 5 months of this fiscal year are down 7% from a year ago. Ag imports are up 2%.
For a trade balance of negative $4.1 billion, which is $7.2 billion lower than the trade balance at this point last year.
That's USDA economist Bart Kenner. For this fiscal year, USDA is forecasting an agricultural trade deficit of more than $30 billion. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Agriculture Utilization Research Institute is hosting their New Uses Forum today in Mankato. During a panel titled Resources Underpinning the Bioindustrial Opportunity, Fluid Quip Technologies President Neil Jackal said new technology is just scratching the surface of the biological advancements.
There's a ton of innovation at the farm field that will carry all the way through. We have just begun to touch, you know, what CRISPR and some of those other technologies can do to basically truly utilize that carbon molecule that the corn produces today, and how do you extract that carbon and make it into something more valuable. To me, it's that whole pathway through. I call it, you know, I know we're huge into the green economy and the CI economy. But to me, we are the next 10 years, I keep telling my team this, it's going to be the carbohydrate economy.
Jackal expects ethanol plants to continue to diversify their production.
That is, you know, when you look at those spider charts out there of all the everything that you, tablecloths and chairs and everything in between, it all starts with a sugar molecule. And one thing that corn kernel does is make a lot of sugar molecules. And that's where it's going to start. And we believe these ethanol plants will diversify immensely to be large carbohydrate producers, not necessarily ethanol producers.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon, May wheat Minneapolis is trading down a half penny, 6.49¾. September is down 4¾ at 6.63¾. Chicago May wheat down 8½ at 5.57¼. Kansas City May wheat down 8¾ at 5.76½. May corn down 5¼ at 4.30¼. July is down 5¾ at 4.41¾. New crop December down 5¼ at 4.67¾. May soybeans down 8¢, 11.73½. August down 6¼, 11.86½. New crop November down 5¾, 11.78½. May meals a penny higher, excuse me, May meals a $1.80 higher with bean oil down 47 points. In Winnipeg, May canola $1.80 higher at $6.40.10 Canadian. April live cattle $1.80 higher at $181.20. June's up $2.12. August up $1.82. April feeder cattle 217 higher at 241.47. May is up 285. August is trading 230 higher at 250.55. April lean hogs 82 cents higher at 90.57. This is the Red River Farm Network.